So let me see if you can hear me. Great, thank you. So yesterday in my talk, I mentioned the respect, maybe even reverence, that the Buddha, with which the Buddha treated people and his practitioners. And I mentioned that one of the kind of metaphors he used for people who are interested in practicing is to refer to them as monarchs. And I want to tell you the little story, the analogy that he uses for this. And the analogy has to do with a woodsperson, who goes into the woods to gather wood and comes across a kind of under the brush and covered over by vines and bushes and sharp shrubs, an ancient road, just a little trace of it. And the woods person follows the road, follows the traces in deep into the forest, and there finds an ancient palace that has been forgotten and overgrown. Maybe like finding these cities of the Aztecs down in Central America, covered with jungle. And so then he goes out of the forest and finds the monarchs of the realm and tells them about what's been found. And then they go and dig out to clear the ancient road and clear this great palace capital, ancient, and they move in and everyone's happy ever after kind of story. But the idea is that in this analogy, the Buddha is the woods person, the forester, who has found an ancient road, an ancient path of practice, and the palace, the capital, is liberation, is freedom. And so the Buddha is not claiming to have invented the path to practice, but instead has uncovered it, something that's ancient, that existed long before he lived. And then the Buddha comes back to us to tell us about that path, that each of us has our own path we have to clear, we have to find. Each of us has our own kind of palace of freedom to from which to clear away all the shrubs, attachments that covers it over. So in the analogy, each of us is the monarch. And that seems to me like a very dignified, respectful way of treating us, seeing us. Some of you might not like the idea of a great, powerful figure like that. But the Buddha was constantly assimilating or reappropriating somehow, redefining the terms of his time in ways that kind of worked for his orientation. And so rather than liking us to powerful autocratic monarchs of the time, it was almost like a democratic movement to see everyone as monarchs. All of us have a certain regality. And how does this relate to our practice here on the retreat? It's two things. One is this idea of respect. I'm pretty confident if the Buddha showed up here, he'd probably want to bow to each of you. Each of you he would see with eyes of respect, care, reverence, that you would be a very worthwhile person in his eyes. And the other is that sometimes we have a overly oriented towards how we feel, our feelings about things, our attitudes about things, our inner psychology. And it's certainly important, and Buddhism involves a Buddhist practice involves a serious looking at that. But in Buddhism, there's also this idea that how you behave with your body doesn't have to be the same as how you feel. It's possible to assume a dignified, upright posture, which is a classic meditation posture, and that's a posture that doesn't express emotional collapse, doesn't express hostility, doesn't express a lot of the feelings that might be inside, but it's a posture which holds all of what we are without giving into it. To take a posture of regality, of dignity, irrespective of how we're feeling, and let how we feel find its way inside that posture of regalness, of dignity, of confidence that we might have. This is an ancient practice in Buddhism that got really, really developed even more in Tibet and China and Japan. The idea that you would put your body into a posture that expresses something very powerful, and then you would grow into it. So maybe you can think about this for this retreat. Is there some way that doesn't feel like it's artificial and doesn't feel like pretend exactly, where you don't have to pretend you're feeling any different than you are, but you place your body in a posture of dignity, of great respect for yourself, of uprightness. Maybe as you do dishes, maybe as you sit, maybe as you walk around your neighborhood, maybe when you sit and meditate, maybe even as you lay down to go to sleep, there's a posture that you can take that is somehow a manifestation of some great respect for yourself and value and dignity, regality, if I may. You've done a wonderful thing today. You've been practicing on a retreat. It is one of the most wonderful things to do in a lifetime, to do this practice. I say that completely convinced that it's true, because we're doing some of the most important work any human being can do, to really see ourselves, show up for ourselves, really work through the things that interfere with our freedom and interfere with letting ourselves become a dignified, valued human being, and nobility of spirit. And so I want to thank you for what you've done today. I want to wish you a really good sleep as you go to bed. And maybe, just maybe, in a calm, peaceful way, you can go to bed with a certain kind of dignity and regality, as if you're monarchs. And maybe that'll help you sleep deeply and soundly. And you'll wake up tomorrow morning, another day, to be the monarch in the realm of your practice. May you live that day with dignity. So thank you, and sleep well. Mm-hmm.